I'll start out with 2 Samuel 23, 1 tonight. Going to be going through some of the Psalms today, tonight, so if you want to put your finger there as well. 2 Samuel 23. 2 Samuel. Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for people in the Bible who were after your heart. We know that that is specifically said of David, dear God, and we know that, and we can see through the lives of others in the Bible that they were after the same. And Father, we thank you for these examples. We're thankful that's possible for us today, that we also would be pursuers of your heart and want to draw closer to you in all the time that you give us here. Please help us in that, dear Lord. And for that, I ask for the filling of your Spirit to minister the word to the church tonight. I have nothing but what thou givest. And Father, I just pray that you'd minister to your people by your word, by your Spirit, for the glory of our blessed Lord, your blessed Son. Father, fill my dear wife with your Spirit and bless her watching the children and bless her time with Julia there. And dear God, I thank you for the services this morning. It was a blessing to be in your house again, to be with your people. And Lord, prepare us, edify the church tonight. I pray our hearts would be knit to you and to one another, and we'd be drawn closer to you. And Father, we do pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. David, we saw, was a man after God's own heart. And we also saw here that he is the sweet, noted as the sweet psalmist of Israel. It's interesting that David said that about himself, but he was led by the Holy Spirit to say that about himself and have that written about himself. The sweet psalmist of Israel. And I think about God and what pleases God and how we are to glorify him with our lives. And matter of fact, David wrote in Psalm chapter 40 and verse 3, he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. And it's wonderful that David wrote so many psalms. And when I get to the sermon, I'll probably go through it rather quickly. But I just want to spend a little bit of time thinking about David's life as he writes these psalms, and as he writes these psalms, the basic principles that govern David's life spring forth into focus through several of the psalms, and we'll be looking at some of them, and we're going to look at a particular phrase, as for me, and in the Psalms here. But David had a difficult life. You think about it. He was a shepherd boy, and when he was to be anointed king, who was invited to the party? Everybody but him. and finally Samuel the prophet had to go catch him. David had seven older brothers, and they were all there. And so finally Samuel said, well, where is he? God hadn't chosen any of these. All the seven passed before. And so they had to go fetch David. His dad left him watching the sheep. And I don't know how thrilled his brothers were about that, the youngest being anointed king. Matter of fact, we can find a little bit later that David, he was anointed king, and he went to play the harp for Saul when Saul had some spiritual problems. He did that for a little while, then he went back to the sheep, and then he was called, his dad called him in and said, I want you to go take some supplies to your three oldest brothers are with the army, Saul's army, and they're getting ready to face the Philistines. You remember that? And there was a giant there, and his name was?
Goliath.
Yeah, and so David went to see him, and everybody was fearful because of him. The Bible tells us that. But David heard him. He said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should deny the armies of the living God?" And who is this? David says, "You know, let me take care of him." And of course, remember what his oldest brother said. You know, he says, "What are you doing here? Who'd you leave those few sheep with? And I know you're hard. You're after mischief." So I'm not sure how much his brothers were on board with this David being anointed king thing at this time. He might have had some difficulties through that. And then when Samuel did anoint him king, and David went and served Saul as a servant for a while, what happened? Saul wanted to kill him. And for 3 years, he's running around living in the forest and caves and such. And by then, we gather from the Bible that his brothers and family, some joined him. So it's pretty evident that by then, they were on his side and behind him. But still, that was a rough 3 years or so that he was running in that way. He becomes king and ends up sinning and numbering the people. Remember that? There was a great plague, and Israel had to be sinning at the time, and David sinned in numbering the people. He wasn't supposed to do that. But God used the two together. God was going to punish Israel for their sin, and then David sinned for numbering, so God waited. It's like God was being merciful toward Israel, but then when David went ahead and did his sin, God said, "Okay, I'm going to get the whole lot of them right now. I'm going to," there was a great plague, and thousands of in Israel died. David ended up begging for God's mercy, and God called back the death angel and such that was doing those things. It was difficult. And then remember his son Absalom turned against him. I mean, David did not have an easy life. And yet he writes much of what he experienced and felt, what? Through psalms and through singing is what the psalms are. They're songs. Amen. And it gave God praise. David knew that in the high wall, on the mountaintops and in the valleys, he still had a wonderful God. And he knew he needed his God all the way. And so we're going to look at some of the Psalms that tell us the principles by which David lived his life. When he says, "As for me," it's like he's in effect, he's throwing down the gauntlet, saying, "For all who desire to live life on a higher plane, here's what we ought to do." He's saying, when he says, "As for me," you can make your choice, but this is where I stand. And maybe David was stirred up by that great general of history, Joshua. When he finished his course and was ready to pass off the scene, Joshua encouraged the nation and said, "What? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You're going to have to make your decision who you're going to serve. "But as for me and my house," Joshua said, "what? We shall serve the Lord." And I want to look at just a few of the Psalms and some of the principles that David lived his life by. And we can be challenged and encouraged to follow in those things. David's principles in the Psalms, he says, "As for me," in Psalm 55:16, "I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me." And of course, David is talking about all of his trials, whatever trials and problems were that he had in his life. What would he do? He would call upon the name of the Lord. And when we live our Christian life, we are called, all Paul mentions, all they that call upon the name of the Lord. That it ought to be a title that identifies our life, because it's what we do. What do? We always call upon the name of the Lord, don't we? When we need wisdom, when we need strength, we need comfort, we need mercy, we need direction, whatever. We're always calling upon the name of the Lord. At least I hope we are. And we are to be continually. And David said, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me." And a good illustration of that calling, that we must call upon him for salvation. David said, "I will call upon the Lord." We are to call upon God. God has no grandchildren. My children aren't going to heaven because their daddy's saved. My children are going to heaven, what? Because one day they trusted God for themselves. They started to make that faith, that gospel in the Bible, Romans 1:16 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. They decided to make that their gospel. And they believed that. And they didn't get to heaven on daddy's faith. And they get to heaven on mama's faith. God doesn't have any grandchildren. We have to make our own decision in trusting him as our Savior. Romans 10:8-13 talks about our salvation and about what does God say about salvation. what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Notice all the personal pronouns, the singular one. It's nigh thee, the word is nigh you, even in thy mouth, in thy heart. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. But notice all those personal pronouns. Philip told that man he was witnessing to, when he wanted to be baptized after believing in what Philip said. Philip said, if thou believest with what? All thine heart, thou shalt be saved. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he was obviously wanting to follow him because he was willing to get baptized, which at then was a very costly decision for many people, and he was willing to do that. And so we see David's conversion, so to speak, and his trust in God. And then secondly, let's consider David's conduct. Psalm 26. In verse 11, he says, but as for me, I will walk in mine integrity, redeem me, and be merciful unto me. David says, I will walk. My decision, I will walk in mine integrity. I want my heart to be right with God. And we need to walk with God. Now, the sad part of it is, listen, the Bible says, evil communications corrupt good manners. In other words, if we learn false doctrines, we'll begin to live in false ways. Not good. But here's the sad part. Good doctrines don't always produce good manners, do they? That's part of our fallen nature. There are many Christians who what? Know good doctrines, but what? Don't walk in them, right? We see that experientially. We see that. And that's the sad part. That's the sad part about it. And there's a passage in the Bible that addresses that. In Galatians chapter 2, and verse 17, they were living the wrong way. And Paul was clarifying his doctrine in Christ. And Paul writes in Galatians 2:17, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, if we seek to preach and live by the doctrine of justification by faith alone, but while we seek to be justified by Christ, if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we hold the right doctrine, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? If I hold the right doctrine of Christ and then I don't live right, does that make the right doctrine of Christ wrong? No. He goes on to say, God forbid, at the end of Galatians 2:17. He says, for if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Paul said, I've got the right doctrine. Matter of fact, he said, if anyone preach any other gospel that which we have delivered unto you, let him be accursed. Paul knew he had the right gospel. But he went on to say what? But people don't always live by the right that they know. And that's a sad truth. That's why we need more Christians to say, like David, as for me, amen. As for me, I walk in mine integrity. I want to live in a way that glorifies God, that glorifies the gospel of Jesus Christ. David's conduct. And we know good doctrine, and we ought to choose to live by it. Amen. And thirdly, we see David's concern. Thirdly, David's concern. Now, David here is talking about some difficult times in life. Those that are fighting against him in Psalm 35 He says in Psalm 35:11, false witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. He says, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. What did David say? When they were sick, I prayed for them. And my enemies gathered against me.
I mentioned some of the history of David, so we can imagine how many situations these psalms will fit into. How many times did he had people against him? Whether it was Saul, the Amalekites, whether it was brethren, whether it was God judging him, you know, for his sins, whatever it might have been, whether it was his own son trying to take the throne. He had a lot of struggles and a lot to trust God through, amen, and a lot to write psalms about. But he had a concern. He has actually prayed for those who did him wrong. And we certainly know that we are to be like that in Luke 6:32. Jesus said, "For if you love them that love you, what thank have you?" What have you done? Nothing. He says, "For sinners also love those that love them." The world can do that. And if you do good to them that which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. Luke 6:33. If you lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. And yours is so beautiful. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Do you ever notice that there's righteous people in this town that live for God, and there's people that live for the devil? You understand? But do you ever notice when the rain comes down on us all? It doesn't skip the evil people's gardens, does it? It waters them too, doesn't it? That beautiful sun, it shines just as much on the lost, God-cursing sinner's house as it does on your house and my house, doesn't it? Why? Because that's the way God is. He pours out, in many ways, his abundant goodness upon all. And God says we need to learn to be that way with those that are, even our enemies, with those that are around us. Need to learn to be that way. Be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Luke 6:36. And then, he didn't know I could go through a sermon this fast, but get up here. And then fourthly, we see David's consecration. David's consecration in Psalm 5. That's a beautiful psalm. Psalm 5, verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing or lying. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. David said, I want to be consecrated to the Lord. What did he say in that psalm there? He says, consider my meditation. That brings Psalm 1 to mind, not a psalm written by David, but nonetheless, Psalm 1 and verse 2 says, well, Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. What's it say? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law, what? Doth he meditate day and night. David said, I'm going to be committed to learning and meditating upon God's word. By the way, God's word, meditation in the Bible, is never an emptying of your mind. It's a filling of your mind. It's a filling of your mind with the scriptures and what God has said. Something maybe God has spoken to you from your devotions. Something God spoke to you from a worship service or something. Or a brother or sister in Christ. Some way that God is meditating upon the word of God. What is God saying to me? How does this apply to my life? How do I live this verse out in my... It is meditation upon a mind that is filled with the word of God. The emptying thing is a satanic thing. And that's another lesson there. That's a dangerous thing to empty your mind. The Bible talks about demonic powers and such coming in when a person endeavors to empty their mind. Another lesson. But we fill our mind with the scripture. And David had committed that reading, that meditating upon God's word. He says, consider my meditation. So we know he was talking about a biblical meditation. He wasn't talking about something that God didn't approve of. He's talking about the kind of meditation that God talks about. Consider this, God. And meditating upon the word. And what did he say? My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. What's that? That's prayer, isn't it? Well, how many times do we hear in this church? But read your Bible, pray, and what? Go to church. And we have David in Psalm 5, just in the first few verses, committed to all those things. But as for me, verse 7, I'll come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy. And in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. You see, David had times in his life, in his running, where he couldn't go into the house of God. And he wanted to. Notice the end of verse 7, he says, well, the beginning it says, I will come into thy house. And the end he says, in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. What's David saying? And there's times when I can't be there. And when I can't be there, I'm going to note where your house is, God, and I'm going to worship toward that temple. By the way, David said that. David says that in a psalm. And remember what Solomon prayed when he built that temple? Solomon was David's son. Solomon asked God, he says, and when your people maybe they're out to war and they can't be in the temple. You'd find that in 2 Chronicles 6:34. Solomon is praying to God to bless the temple he's built. He says, if thy people go out to war against their enemies, by the way, that thou shalt send them, and they pray unto thee toward this city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. He goes on to say, then hear their prayer, and hear from heaven and answer their prayer. Solomon may have been thinking about his father, how there was times when his father, he knew, couldn't be in the temple because Saul was hunting to kill him. He couldn't be in the temple because he's running for his life, and yet he longed to be there. And Solomon may have been moved by that and said, God, when we can't be there, honor those prayers as your house is in our hearts. And I love coming to church. I love being with God's people. I understand that this is one of those things on earth that has eternal value. And I'm thankful that we can partake in this together. That's the way David was. There was times when he couldn't come. And so he appreciated it all the more when he could. And David's consecration there. We have this plaque up in our house there, Psalm 122:1 is a psalm of David. He says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And because there was times he wanted to and he couldn't. And so he was so glad about that. He wanted to worship God in spirit. He was consecrated unto God. Psalm 27:8, he said, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Isn't that good? And that's what God wants from us all. David's consecration. As for me, you know, I will come into thy house. What else do we see? We see David's confidence. David's confidence. He says in Psalm 41 and verse 12, as for me, thou holdest me in mine integrity and settest me before thy face forever. By the way, isn't that what God has done to us in such a wonderful way? What do you say in Hebrews 13:5? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a wonderful thing God has done for us. And David in Psalm 41 is speaking about, you know, the evil about him, and he says in Psalm 41:7, all that hate me whisper together and against me, and against me do they devise my hurt. And he says in verse 5 of Psalm 41, my enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? A disease, they say, verse 8, cleaveth fast unto him, and now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more, and on. My own familiar friend, Psalm 41, verse 9, prophetic of our Lord Jesus Christ, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. David had experienced that. His own son came after him. Ahithophel, who was his counselor, sought his life. David experienced those things.
But what does David say? But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me. Raise me up that I may requite them. He says, as for me, God, you're the one that's going to make me stand. His confidence was in God. I think about the disciples when they finally got it together. You know, they ran and hid for a while. They left Jesus alone, but Jesus said, what? And yet I'm not alone because the Father's with me. But they did leave him. They did depart from him. Peter did deny him those three times. And even when he hung around for 40 days after his resurrection and taught them, they even came to the place where maybe they just got tired. Remember Peter said those words, I go a-fishing. You know, and they even left in John chapter 21 to go back to fishing. And Jesus met them on the shore there and encouraged them again. Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, he said to Peter, and encouraging him to go on. And finally they come to that great sermon, that service at Pentecost in the temple. And thousands are saved. And Peter now and the apostles are boldly speaking for the Lord Jesus Christ. They're filled with the Spirit of God. And they're eventually even hauled off into prison. And by whose authority, by whose name do you do these things? What does Peter say? By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree, God raised from the dead by his name. The name that is above every name. And none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. And Peter preached it out. And they were getting that boldness thing down. They were getting that trust in the Spirit thing down. Whatever may come. And they were putting their lives on the line for the Lord and experiencing the joy and the fullness and the power of the Spirit that comes with that. And they were threatened by the leaders, eventually beaten by the leaders, and gathered together in a prayer meeting. And the Bible says they continued preaching in Acts 28:31. They continued preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding them. They had all confidence. Why? Because they had learned to trust in their mighty Savior, and they learned to serve Him come what may. And David's confidence had become the same. And how we can be challenged by that. And then we see David's contact. Psalm 69, verse 13. But as for me, there it is again. My prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me, in the truth of thy salvation. You ever notice David refers a lot to mercy? You know why? Because David got this morning's message, who am I? Who am I that God would use me? You say, well, yeah, but David's sins are really bad. Listen, yours and mine are bad enough to keep us out of heaven, amen? And David realized how much he needed God. And so he was always calling out, but yet he knew who he was. And so he was always calling out for God's mercy. And God used him in a great way. But he's in Psalm 69, he's talking about bearing reproach for being godly. In Psalm 69:7, he says, because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame hath covered my face. I'm become a stranger unto my brethren, an alien unto my mother's children. And of course, we can think of that as being prophetic of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here it is. Psalm 69:9, for the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Who's that also speaking about? Jesus Christ. And the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul, good godly things, with fasting, that was to my reproach. Others reproached him for doing that, ridiculed him for that. I made sackcloth of my garment. I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. But what? But God, you're the one that I commune with. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord. I'm continuing seeking you. I'm continually in contact with you. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. Amen. And so many have found that. And finally, David's consummation. David's consummation in Psalm chapter 17 and verse 15.
Psalm chapter 17. It's beautiful that all these are in Psalms. You know, words to sing to. The sweet psalmist of Israel, even the struggles of his life, putting out in songs, led by the Holy Spirit to do so. Psalm 17, 15, as for me, there it is, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Did we get that? And look what David was living for. David said, there's one thing that I'm living for, dear God, and that's to be like you. Wow. That'll fit right in the New Testament, won't it? And we are to what? God's calling for us is what? To be Christ-like. That's the holy calling of God. Be holy, for I am holy, God said. And he has predestined us to what? To be conformed to the image of his Son. And oh my goodness, we see that same spirit working even in David in those days. What did Paul say? He said, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3:8. And let us, as therefore, as many as perfect, as many Christians are mature, let us be thus minded. Let's have the same mind, that same mind that Paul has. David's consummation. I want to finish closer to you, God, as close to you as I can be. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, Paul said this. He says, none of these things move me. All this suffering, all these stonings, all these beatings. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. Did you get that? Finish it with joy. You see, if we don't run from the sufferings, we get joy. Our mind doesn't work that way. Our mind won't tell us, the flesh won't tell us. Now, you can't expect to go and suffer and experience joy. But listen, your flesh is a liar, and so is mine. Because if we suffer for Jesus' sake, Peter says, if we suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. We're all the way going up to it. The flesh is saying, no, 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 no. And we're supposed to say, you're supposed to die, flesh. Because everything in my fleshly being tells me this ain't going to be fun. It's not going to be joyous. I'm not going to be happy. But God, it's right. You help me do it. You help me say it. And we do it. And what happens? The happiness comes and the joy comes. It floods in there. Because why? Because God's word never fails. God's word never fails. And we experience it as we do it. Jesus said, if any man do my doctrine, my teaching, they shall know that it's of God. Doing those things, the consummation of that. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have what? Finished my course. I have kept the faith. And that's what David was wanting to do. He says, I got to focus, God. I want to wake in your likeness. I'm looking forward to meeting you one day and to communing with you about the life that I have lived with you upon this earth. And that's what we're all going to do one day with the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to commune with him about the life that we lived on this earth. And the Bible tells us that doesn't have to be a sad time. It can be a time of great joy. Matter of fact, exceeding joy, the Bible says, as God prepares us for that, as we simply what? Yield more and more of our hearts to him. As he's calling us, as he's changing us, as he's directing us, and we'll experience that in our lives. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the church tonight. I thank you so much for your presence here with us once again in that special way. We know you're with us always. We know that. But God, I do sense that way that you're with us here when we meet together in that special way, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for that. God, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. We'd have no way, no hope. We'd be helpless, like the sermon said this morning, without your blessed Son. God, without your word, we'd have no direction. Without your spirit, we'd have no understanding or power. Without your Son, we'd have no way made for us. We'd have no spirit in our heart. So, Father, we thank you for all these things. Without your love, none of it would have started to begin with. Oh, Father, we thank you for your love to us. And I pray you'd help us to walk in the light of your word, in the power of your love. And dear God, increase our faith. We pray that prayer that's ever true, it seems, in our lives, that you would increase our faith and teach us to pray. Help us to draw more closely to you, make us more like into the image of your dear Son. And help us to be careful to thank you and praise you
We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.